All right, we're in the lesson 11, Redemption and Atonement. In our lesson sheet, learn that redemption is wrought by way of atonement. This is the means in which redemption is produced, is by the atoning blood. Atonement is never without the blood. Nothing else could make an atonement except the blood. And there was other offerings, there was a meal offering and all these, but they could never make an atonement, only through the blood, through the atoning. The Hebrew word kaphar is the word. It's spelled either K-A-P-H-A-R or C-A-P-H-A-R, and it's used 88 times in the Old Testament. Most of these times, it's in the Levitical laws. There are several places we could find, or several words, I should say, we could translate this. And those that are taking notes, I'll just run through some of them. I don't think we'll take the time as boring to look all of them up. But its same word is translated satisfaction in Numbers 35, 31, and verses 31 and 32. The same word is translated a bribe twice in the Bible, in 1 Samuel 12, 3, and also in Amos 5, 12. And the thought of this bribe is something that covers, and you want to study into it. Then in Exodus 21, 30, it's translated a sum of money, which shows the value of the atonement. Then several times, six or seven times, I don't remember, it's translated ransom, the same word in Exodus 30, 12, Job 33, 24, Psalms 49, 7. Three times in the Proverbs is translated ransom, Proverbs 6, 35, Proverbs 13, 8, Proverbs 21, 18. All of those scriptures show forth it as ransom. Also Isaiah 43, 3. So these are many words that the word coffer could, but it means to cover is the thought, or to shelter. Shelter is another word that we could use for it. It's translated village two times in the scriptures. In 1 Chronicles 27, 25, translate a village, and I think that's right. But in the Psalms of Solomon, 7, verse 11, chapter 7, verse 11, is translated a village, I think in verse 12 also. And the thought here is a shelter. When it's translated a village, the thought there is shelter. You've heard of the city Capernaum. All right, you have two words there. Coffer, where we got capper, meaning a shelter. Naam, or a shelter of Naam, is what the meaning of the word is. It means a village or a place to be covered. The thought of this is to atone or to cover a sin. Our lesson sheet gives us Exodus 29, 36. Let's look that up. Well, let's start up a little. Let's start at 35. And thou shalt do unto Aaron and his sons according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days thou shalt thou consecrate them, and thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt atone it to sanctify it. This is the first time that we have the word to sanctify in this, but 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy, and whatsoever touches the altar shall be made holy. So within the scope of atonement through the blood of a bullock, everything becomes holy that touches that which has been sanctified. We might in John 4, I believe it is, see if I can find that, 23. The hour cometh and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, worshiping him in spirit is in his, within his will, within the scope of his plan, you see. God is a spirit, And to worship him, we must worship him within his power and within his plan. Our worshiping him without the blood was never in his plan. When Adam first fell, the first thing he did was shed blood for the atonement of Adam and Eve. Although it's not called an atonement there, nevertheless, it is. And so we have here for for the atonement of all things, it took the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for anything. And so, but let's look at another verse here while we're here in chapter 30 of Leviticus, verse 10, I believe it is. I had in mind. Yes, verse 10. Now this is speaking of, well, let's go on back, verse 7. And Aaron shall burn thereon upon the altar of testimony, verse 6, incense every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And Aaron lighteth the lamp, and even incense before the Lord throughout your generation. And ye shall offer no strange fire, no strange incense thereof. Nadab and Abihu did this. Our burnt sacrifice, our meal offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering. See, none of these could make an atonement whatsoever. And Aaron shall make atonement upon the horns thereof once a year with the blood of the sin. Now this might sound kind of confusing. In fact, I was confused over this for many years. It reads as though the altar of incense was on the east side of the veil or in the holy place. But when Aaron took blood and offered it upon the horns, it was on the other side of the veil. It was in the holies of holies. So evidently, once a year, this altar was moved from one side of the veil to the other, because we're definitely told that he went through the veil to make the atonement and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. So it sounds as though this altar of incense might have been moved. Anyway, that had nothing to do with just this little extra. The blood had to be applied upon the horns of the altar. Horns speak of power, speaks of strength. This is where the strength is in the blood. Back to our lesson sheet, the Hebrew word atonement implies a grave variance between two parties. Man and God were separated because of sin. There was no way that there could be any fellowship whatsoever without the shedding of blood. So all the way through Genesis, although they didn't realize what they were doing, all the way through Genesis, before they were brought out of before the tabernacle was set up even, they had to be brought into God's favor by the shedding of blood. So hence the atonement makes satisfaction between them. It pacifies the offended party. And then it gives Genesis, Gary, look up Genesis 32:20. We talk about satisfaction, pacification, to be pacified. We might get the wrong thought. Genesis 32:40. He said, I would appease him. This isn't the same thought that we have. The pacification of God, the thought that we have there is a covering of the sins written against someone else. Pacification and atonement has the thought of a covering of a difference between one person and someone else. Let's look up Ezekiel 16:62. He said, and I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord. Now here the word pacify has to do with a covering. I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And what? It's a shame, you see. It said, never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee. See, the pacifying of God is the covering of their shame. Now, this is the same as we had back in the garden, wasn't it? that God covered the shame of Adam and Eve by the skins of the animal. And so we think of this word atonement as a covering. We think of to be pacified somebody as to temporarily, well, they do this with babies, don't they? They stick something in their mouth to kind of hold them off until you can get the real thing done. This isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about a literal covering of the offended party that satisfies the condition between the two. So there's many verses that we could read. There's another one while we're here in Ezekiel in the 16th chapter. Well, there's several, but in 1663 in our lesson. All right, somebody read that. 1663 if you have it.
That thou mayest remember and be confounded and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done.
That's what we just read, wasn't it? There's another one, though. Oh, 43:20. That's the one I had in mind. Somebody look at it. Ezekiel 43:20. It's translated to purge there in 43:20.
Thou shalt take of the blood thereof and put it on the four horns of it.
Ezekiel 43:20.
And thou shalt take of the blood thereof and put it on the four horns of it and on the four corners of the settle and upon the borders round about. Thus shalt thou cleanse and purge it.
So there is translated purge. And also in verse 26, I believe, doesn't it? And it translated purge there too.
7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate themselves.
In fact, I think 8 times in the Old Testament it's translated purge. And as the thought there is cleansing by way of covering, by way of sin covering. That's the way God purges our sins. While you're right close there, look up Ezekiel 45:15, and there it's translated to reconcile, the same kefer.
And the lamb out of the flock, out of the 200, out of the fat pastures of Israel, for a meat offering and for a burnt offering and for peace offerings to make reconciliation for them, saith the Lord God.
And I think also verse 16 and 17, I believe both of them has the same mention, reconciliation. But in each case, we're talking about a covering. God reconciles by means of covering a sin. God purges by means of covering for sin. And so atonement appeases the wrath in this sense of the offended party by bearing the penalty due to the offender. Now we are the offender. God is the offendee. So the only thing that could pacify him, in a sense, was the shedding of blood. The only thing that could satisfy. And so he made the way for a man to be brought into a relationship, or a fellowship, I should say, at this time with him. All right, the same word, kefer, is 3 times translated reconciliation. I counted 4 times the scriptures in Leviticus 6:30, also Leviticus 16:20, 8:15, 3 times in the book of Leviticus. One time is called of a day, then in a day of reconciliation. I believe that's in 6:30, Leviticus 6:30. Then in Ezekiel, we just had Ezekiel 45:15 is called reconciliation. And also in Daniel 9:24, the word reconcile there is the same Hebrew word, kofer, that is we see here. So it means to cover by a sin offering, to make an atonement by a sin offering, to reconcile in the sense of atonement. Now, Daniel 9, let's turn over there just for a minute. And some things was given to Israel in Daniel 9:24 that must be done. And all of these that we read in this verse were done at the cross. 70 weeks or 460 years are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression. The second one is to make an end of sin. Third, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. 5, to seal up the vision of the prophecy, and 6, to anoint the most holy. Now all of these were done in this period of time. 483 years was given unto them to do all these things. But Jesus did them, didn't he? In his own body upon a cross. By the way, this 483 years began with the order to restore and build Jerusalem in Nehemiah 2. 463 years from Nehemiah 2 to the cutting off of Christ on the cross. Then the other 7 years carried us on to the stoning of Stephen. But all of these were done in this period of time. So all of this was called a reconciliation, or a covering for sin. So let's look up these verses in our lesson sheet. Kenny, Leviticus 6:30, why don't you take both of those, 16:20 both. And we've already looked up, it's on your lesson sheet, Leviticus 6. Well, you, Ruth, you take 16:20. Sharon, Wesley, we read Exodus 29:36 already, haven't we? Sharon, Romans 5:10-11 is the answer to these of sin covering. All right, Leviticus 6:30.
And no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile with all in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire.
So none of it was to be eaten. It had to all be burned. And this was given over to God, you see. Now there was some offerings that could be eaten, and we'll talk about them later on. But this had to be burned unto God. He's the one that could enjoy it. Man could never enjoy burnt meat. Did you ever eat burnt meat? Did you ever smell burned flesh? And yet this is called an odor of incense. An odor, a pleasant odor in the sight of, in the nostrils of God. And so what God smelled, though, was his son, the odor of a sacrifice. He saw his son in each one of them, 16:20. And so, again, we see the blood and the cleansing of this. And then Romans 10 is the answer to this. Romans 5, rather. He is our reconciliation, isn't he? And because of the atoning blood that he shed upon the cross in our behalf. Atonement makes provision for cleansing from sin. Ruth, you have that already, haven't you? Leviticus 16, Leviticus 30 to 34. Now we go back to verse 6, actually we need to on that, where Aaron shall offer a bullock for himself and atonement for himself. Now this had to be done first. He had to be cleansed for himself before he could offer the bullock for others. And in verse 11 also. And then we read that he took, I think it might be good if we just turn over and read that. There's so much in there that we can get out of it. From verse 11, and Aaron shall bring the bullock for a sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make atonement for himself in his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and he shall take the censerful of burnt coals from the altar, from the fire off of the altar before the Lord, that's the altar of burnt offering that is out in the courtyard, and his hands of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Now, notice where the altar of incense is here. Before, we read it without the veil, didn't we? Now we read it on the within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat, that is, upon the testimony that he die not. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat he shall sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times. And then he shall kill the goat for a sin offering. And these are the only animals that is seen for the atonement. This is only done once a year. I'm trying to find the verse here where it says he put on the holy linen garments. My eyes isn't falling on it. Verse 24, he shall wash his flesh with water and put on his garments before, verse 23, there it is. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle and shall put off the holy linen garments. And then, but there's a verse that he put them on. I don't see it. But anyway, when Aaron come into the veil, now this is the only time that Aaron didn't wear his beautiful garments. It was the only time that he didn't have the bells and the pomegranates and all of those things. But on this 32, all right, but this is, he only wore a white linen garment into the holies of holies. You heard preachers preach, I guess, on how they all stood out and listened for the bells when he made the atonement. Well, he had no bells on when he made the atonement. It was simply white linen garment, which speaks of Christ. In his, only in his holiness could he offer himself an atonement for sin. The goat is speaks of a sin offering. And the scapegoat that was laid, that was let go, speaks of the guilt of sin that is gone forever. Out of the remembrance of God is all of this gone. So how wonderful atonement was wrought for us on the cross. As a spotless victim had to be brought before God to take the part of a sinful man. This victim's death after the sins of the offerer had been laid, he laid his hands upon the head of this sacrifice, represented the fact that the innocent must suffer for the guilty. That's what they're saying. Then the priest took the offering, offered it unto God. Now, man may have brought the offering, but only the high priest could offer the offering. Now, the priest was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, offered himself. See, the offering was a picture of Christ. The priest is a picture of Christ. And he offered himself upon the altar. And in this sense, he was a partaker and the only partaker of the atonement. Man had nothing to do with this atonement whatsoever. In another verse that we could read while we're here in Leviticus is in the 17th chapter, verse 11, while we're right close. I'll read from verse 10. And whatsoever man there be in the house of Israel, or the stranger that sojourneth among you, that eats any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. And nothing else can make this. It's life for a life. We were the guilty sinner. Jesus took upon himself our sin and may give life for life. And so he says, I have given it unto you upon the altar to make atonement for your life. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the life. I think a revised version translates this by reason of the life, but it's life for life. And Jesus gave his life upon a cross for our atonement. Praise the Lord. All right, the word, let's go back and pick up the thought of the word, Hebrew word, kepher. And it not only sets forth God's shelter for a sinner, and it symbolizes the process by where the shelter should be obtained. How shall I put it? It makes the atonement for sin of the people through the high priest and him alone. God had to use this means to show forth the atonement. Now there's no type, no picture, no Hebrew word that can fully describe what the atonement is. If we take all of these and put them together, we still couldn't satisfactorily describe what God did through his son upon a cross. So in this word atonement, we see that God took the animal, God offered the blood, God used the high priest, God did it all himself, and man simply become a recipient of what God was doing. Atonement then was not something done by man to pacify or to gratify God. Nor was it something done by a third party with the intention of representing the sinner before God. But it is essentially the product of God, pardoning mercy through the agent of a high priest, sprinkling the blood in the work of Christ. One verse that we could think about, I think it'd be outstanding, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The word reconciliation along this line has been adopted by our translators instead of atonement. So therefore we must consider it to be identical with these. When we think of satisfaction, it's what God obtained by Christ as he gave himself upon the cross. All right, so we read in our lesson sheet that atonement made provision for the cleansing of sin. The offender, the offended, is propitiated by the atonement. Now here we have the word propitiation, which is closely adjoined with the word atonement. Let's look up these verses. Loretta, Romans 3:25. Gary, 1 John 2:2. Kenny, 1 John 4:10. And Ruth, Hebrews 2:17. Sharon, yeah, take 9:15:2 and also 1:3. Read that with it. With this kind of a package. Hebrews 2:17, 9:15, and 1:3. And then Sharon, you look up Leviticus 10:17. I don't think we've read that yet, have we? So the offended is propitiated. Romans 3:25. So God sent forth his son to be a propitiation. And the word that is used there, I'm in the process of looking it up for sure right now. Yeah, it has the same thought as our word mercy seat. God sent forth his son to loose us from sin, to cover us from our sin. He became our propitiation on the cross, that through him, that the righteousness of God might be put on exhibition. You see, God could not show forth his righteousness in this world without a sin covering. So Christ was our propitiation. 1 John 2:2. Oh, not just a few selected people, huh? He was a sin covering for the whole world, for every person that ever lived, from the time of Adam to the last man after the kingdom age is over. Jesus is a sin covering for them. Some were looking forward to the cross, some looking backward to the cross. Right, 4:10.
Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins.
So, again, we have, it was done through love, wasn't it? Wasn't that we loved him, it's the fact that he loved us, wasn't it? See, it's kind of a one-sided thing. And the reason it is because man was not able. Man was weak through the flesh and couldn't perform what God demanded. So therefore, God did it all himself. Then Hebrews 1:3, read that one first.
He being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
He by himself purged our sins, or cleansed it by means of sin covering. All right, then 2:17.
Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brother, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people.
So God sent his son to make this atonement, to make reconciliation for people. Jesus Christ is a being in whom the Godhead, humanity, met, so that God and man could be made one in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. And then 9:15.
And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
He bore the offense, didn't he, of the human race. He suffered what men, humanity, deserved to suffer. He did what men were originally intended to do, and that was the Father's will in fullness. But man couldn't do the Father's will, could he? So Jesus took upon himself the form of man, did the Father's will in its eternity, in its fullness, then he was able to offer himself upon a cross for a sin covering. All right, Leviticus 10:17.
It'll say, well, do your best. But there's no place where God ever told man to do their best. He said, be ye holy, because I'm holy, and only in a realm of holiness can God ever be satisfied. So Jesus, man could never be holy, so Jesus took upon himself, this Holy One, became sin,
in order to make us the holiness of God. And only in this can God be appeased, or can God be satisfied in any way, because Christ, our high priest, offered himself upon the cross. So then we have a corresponding price is paid for harm done. And there is a price, and this price is the blood of Jesus Christ. Loretta, 1 Timothy 2:6, Gary, Matthew 20:28, that God paid the price. 1 Timothy 2:6. So he gave himself a ransom for all. And we were ransomed because of the sin offering, because of the sin covering, you see, because of the atonement. And then in Matthew 20:28, so he came not to minister, be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for us. He gave himself to the uttermost, but we might have his life. I think we have some beautiful pictures of this. One that comes to my mind, and we all know it, in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, where we're told that Abraham offered up a ram instead of his son. Instead of his son, the ram took his place. Now, God's son was hanging on that cross. God saw the ram. His son took our place. We should have been that burnt offering. We should have been the one that was crucified. But Jesus took our place in his death upon the cross. Such a wonderful picture of victory. So reconciliation means a thorough change from this. Let's look at these verses. Kenny, Ephesians 2:16, Ruth, Colossians 1:20-21, and Sharon, 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. Now, there's again the thought of reconciliation, a thorough change because of the atonement. Ephesians 2:16.
And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby.
So how did he do it?
By the cross.
That's right. And on the cross is where the atonement was made. So without the cross, would there be any reconciliation? None at all, would there? Then Colossians 1:20-21.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled.
Again, we have it by the cross, don't we? See, everything was done by the cross. A man came out with a thought here, I don't know, a year ago maybe, and I won't mention his name, you probably know, but he said that that the atonement was made in hell, that Jesus went down in hell and wrestled with the demons down there and made the atonement down in hell. This is not true. Everything that was accomplished for us was accomplished on the cross. Jesus did not go into the lower Sheol. He went into paradise, and he led captivity captive. He brought those out of paradise and set paradise in the third heaven. He never went into the lower Sheol whatsoever. But none of the atonement, nothing that we have today was accomplished anywhere other than on the cross. So don't let anybody tell you that any debt was paid anywhere else. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:18-19.
Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Now read those first five or six words again.
Now all things are of God.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? What's my part then? Believe it? Lay hold of it? We ought to have I've been thinking about inserting somewhere in here a doctrine of faith, because this is our part, and yet God gives us the faith. We can't whip faith up. We can't, conjure it some way. Faith, the Holy Spirit gives us a faith as he reveals the word to our heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God in Romans. So we have nothing to boast in whatsoever, do we? Absolutely. And Paul made the statement in Galatians 6. He says, if I boast, I boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's all him. He has done it all. All right, back to our lesson sheet. A ransom, again we have the word kopher, means a covering. We talked about this. The sinner had to pay a ransom to make full amends of restitution. There's several verses along this line, but I think we'll just settle with Exodus 21. Let's turn over to that. And the thought that we have in the offering price is, how much is atonement worth? It says 21, 23 through 25, isn't it? Well, I guess what they're talking about in the lesson sheet is what man is. But there was a sum of money that had to be paid. And I just want to make this statement about that. Is the value of any atonement, how much is it worth? And can anybody really pay I believe it was a half shekel, and I don't remember just where that is. That was the minimum. The poorest had to give a half shekel. But anyway, the thought, I think, is of our appreciation. God allows us to have a part simply to show appreciation. We give of ourselves because we appreciate the blood that was shed. And I mentioned this at the beginning of our lesson. Very few of God's people really appreciate the blood upon the cross. And I think we can show our appreciation by how we give to God. People that are stingy to God don't really fully appreciate the atonement of the cross. And I'm not talking about necessarily in dollars and cents, because they didn't have dollars and cents back in this time. They gave silver and things of this nature. But I think the thought that we have along this line is, we give of ourselves, we give of our heart. And let me tell you, God's got you, he's also got your pocketbook. Love is always giving. Love is never getting. Love is always giving. And so there is an appreciation of God's sayings along this line. So this ransom money pictures the value of the Lord Jesus Christ and what a value of him. Another couple of thoughts I think would be good to throw in here when we think about this word kopher. In the Psalms of Solomon, twice used, in the first chapter, verse 14, also in the fourth chapter, verse 15, the word camphor is used. Let's look at Songs of Solomon 4:13. We're talking about a garden enclosed as my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Now the plants that are in this garden is the fruitfulness of the one who planted the garden. Is that right? And it pictures Jesus Christ. And the fruitfulness are of those who lay hold of his things. All right, now I'm not going to read all this, but in verse 13, the word camphor there is the Hebrew word kopher. It's spelled a little different because it's in a different, used differently, but it has a similar thought of a atonement. And the outward manifestation of his atoning blood is seen into the fruitfulness of his people. Then I think I'll go ahead while we're here, read 1:14. He says, My beloved is unto me a cluster of camphor. And so the thing that impresses her more than anything else is the atonement that was made for her. And this the fruitfulness of this atonement became an outward manifestation of her life. And again, I say that as we live in this world, we should be manifesting the atoning blood of Christ in our own mortal body as Christ is being portrayed in us. Paul called him, said that he poured himself out. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I died daily. That doesn't mean he counted the old man dead every day. It means that he poured himself out daily. And we too, as Christ poured himself out, we pour ourselves out in the same manner, in giving our life as a ransom in this world. It's the life of Christ, isn't it? But we still empty ourselves out. In the 6th chapter of Genesis, let's turn over just for a minute, verse 14, and make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. That word pitch here is the same word as we have gopher. And the thought here is a complete covering. Now this ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is, we can't sink because of the atoning work that was made on the cross. There's no way this ark can sink. It's going to carry you through any tribulation that you'll ever experience. No matter how, you see, when we're in the ark, it didn't make any difference whether that water was 10 foot deep or 10 million foot deep. We stayed on top of it. And it's the same way with any experience that we have in our life. That ark is pitched within and without. And because of the atoning blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's look at the Greek along this line. The Greek word latrul is to loose by a price, is rendered redeem or redemption. Now, the word, the fact that we are, have been loosened from the bondage of sin because Jesus shed his blood upon the cross. And I'm just going to pick out a couple of these. Hebrews 9:12. Who did I evolve with last night? Sharon, was you the last one to read? What? Loretta, Hebrews 9:12, and Gary, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. And as we read this Hebrews 9:12, I want us to think of the verse that we read in Romans 3:24-25. I believe we read, didn't we, in Romans 3. But let's think about it. In fact, I'm going to read that to you real quick before Loretta reads that in Hebrews. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare God's righteousness for the remission of sin that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare at this time, I say, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in God. So let's bear this in mind now as we read Hebrews 9:12.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
He entered in once unto the holy place. This was on the Day of Atonement. He didn't take the blood as Aaron did he? The blood of bullocks and goats. But he only took his own blood into the holies of holies. And in doing so, the veil was rent from top to bottom, freeing us and giving us complete access into the presence of an almighty God forever. Eternal redemption. How long is our redemption? Forever, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So, Jesus paid this in his own body. But I want us to think of the access that we have and the fact that his righteousness is what's put on exhibition that day, the righteousness of God. All right, 1 Peter 1:18-19. So, with the precious blood of the Lamb. All right, then looking on, apolusitis is the same as lutro, except the preposition apa is put in front of it. Apa means away from or out of. It has to do with off of the surface of something. And so we were loosed from sin, away from sin. Again, we are brought to our mind Romans 3:24 and also Hebrews 9. Then it gives 15. Who had that Hebrews 9? Read verse 15 while you have it there.
And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that we were under the first test, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
So what were we loosed from? The first testament. And we loosed from the law and all those rituals and systems that were set up. Paul wrote to the Galatians, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not, how does that go? I can't quote it. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? You see, it was a crucifixion of Christ that portrayed, that set forth what the law was only a picture of. He said, now, as you see Jesus, as you set your eyes before him, then he's the fulfillment of what all the law was set before. And anything that would rob him of this is a form of bewitchment. The truth is that Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of all the Old Testament rituals. And then in verse 2 he says, and this only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? You see, the flesh could not perfect anything. Only God could do that through the Spirit. And people today try to put themselves under those Mosaic rituals. And they have their priest, in which God plainly tells us that the Levitical priest was all done away with 2,000 years ago. Christ is a fulfillment of all of those things. And we've been loosed from these things. It is definite, defined as the forgiveness of sin. That is, our sins are sent away. We are divorced from them or separated from them. Calvary is between us and our sins. Atonement, ransom, propitiation, reconciliation, apply to redemption only in different phases away. One more thing I want to state too, maybe a couple of more, is all of this is done by the mercy of God, strictly by his mercy. By his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration. See, it's all strictly by his mercy. Let's look up some verses along this line. And there are a lot, but we won't. Kenny, Deuteronomy 21:8, Sharon, 1 Samuel 3:14, Loretta, Psalms, I'm going to give you two Psalms to read, Psalms 78:38 and 79:9. All of these show forth the mercifulness of God. And the word mercy here is the same word as we've been having, kofar. All right, Deuteronomy 21:8.
Be merciful, Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them.
It's the blood that will be forgiven them, but how? Through the mercy of God. It's by his mercy he has done all of this. 1 Samuel 3:14. So, see, because God would not accept this for the house. And why? Because it was a deliberate thing. Levi deliberately ignored the actions of his son. God's atonement is for sins that was in ignorance. This is the reason for that. Then Psalms 78:38.
But he, being full of compassion, forgave your iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath.
God didn't give all of his wrath, did he? But he made an atonement. He made for iniquity. The thought I think we have here is that the charges are done away with because of God's compassion upon his people. Then in Psalm 79:9, for what reason? For thy name's sake. And his name is merciful. He is a merciful God. So he has compassion and love upon the human race, is why he sent his son to die upon the mercy seat. And by the way, the word mercy seat, the same word is translated mercy seat 24 5 times in the Old Testament. Think about that. Over and over and over and over again. One more thought before we leave this morning. This might be a reading. I'm going to read this because I think it might be a little misunderstanding. In Numbers 31, 50, read from verse 50. Probably read about 4 verses there. Well, this was victory. They had victory over the Midianite. They were conquered, and there was a booty taken, and it amounted to quite a bit. You can read all of that, how many sheep that was taken from verse 30 through 30 to 40, down through there, the mount. And then he said, We have therefore bought an oblation for the Lord, whatever man hath gotten, jewels and gold and chains and bracelets and rings and earrings and tablets, to make an atonement for our soul before the Lord. And Moses and Eleazar, the priest, took the gold of them, and even all wrought jewels, and all the gold of of the offering that they offered unto the Lord, of the captains and thousands and captains of hundreds, is 16,750 shekels. For the men of war had taken spoil, every man for himself. And Moses and Eleazar, the priest, took the gold of the captains and thousands and of hundreds, and brought it before the tabernacle congregation for a memorial for the children of Israel for the Lord. Now, this sounds kind of confusing because it makes a statement in verse 50, to make atonement for your soul. But what this actually was, it was a memorial unto the Lord. This is a special case. It was not a law of atonement here, but the atonement was set up as a memorial. And again, we have the thought, I believe, of appreciation, of sharing with God that which comes into our life in appreciation for the atonement. And this is called a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. So this is not part of the law of atonement. All right, I think that's enough for this morning. Anybody have any questions or comments or questions?